remarkable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Never give up, never surrender. We all have to admit we're probably happy the election season's over with. But you also have to admit those people never gave up. They fought right to the very end. And you have to kind of commend them for that. Jesus is telling us we should pray continuously. We should never give up. That we should trust, have hope, and faith God will give us what we need. Thomas Edison was one of those people who never gave up. In fact, his wife died at a very young age. And after a couple of years, he married again. While he was single, though, he kind of got used to going to the lab whenever he felt the urge, whether it was day or night. And on his wedding night, he asked his bride if she would mind if he went to the lab. He had some things he wanted to do. She was like, "Well, no." You can't blame her. Later that night, one of his lab assistants happened to be going past the lab, noticed the lights were on, thought there was a burglar. But he was surprised when he went inside and found Thomas Edison in there working on some project and looked at him and said, "Mr. Edison, isn't this your wedding night?" And he turned around and he looked, "Oh, yeah," and went home. That's persistence. That's never giving up. Thomas Edison was so staunch about doing his thing that he still holds the record for personal patents at 1,093. This was a man who made the comment that invention is 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration. He never gave up. He continually went after whatever he needed to be doing. Being a woman is not easy. Even in today's society, there's been a lot of strides made, but still. But you think back in Jesus' time, when he's talking about this widow, things were far worse. There was no welfare system. There was no government housing. There was no Social Security. And when a woman's husband died, she was not allowed to inherit anything he had. They were not allowed to have possessions. This poor widow wanted justice. She wanted something to be able to take care of her. And she was not about to take no for an answer. So she kept going to this judge day after day after day until finally he said, "All right, okay, I'll take care of it." She never gave up. And what Jesus is trying to tell us in this parable, this example, is that if a judge who neither fears God nor cares about anybody else other than lining his own pockets and what's good for him and his buddies, if somebody like that can grant justice, how much more can God grant justice when we stay persistent and pray and ask him for our needs? I mean, this judge would be kind of like what we would compare in the Old West as the hanging judge. You didn't want to go before the hanging judge, and lawyers were very careful around the hanging judge. This is the kind of person this was. He had his beliefs, and that's the way it was. So this poor widow was kind of the epitome of helplessness and defenselessness. She didn't have any other recourse than to pester this judge day after day. And we kind of get in that same situation sometimes. We look at our high school-aged people, and they might feel left out or might feel rejected in life, and all we can tell them is to just hang on and be faithful. Don't give up. Middle-aged people, they have their concerns about their jobs, their families, what's going to happen next, and I would tell them the same thing. Don't give up. God will provide. Be persistent in prayer. Older people worry about their retirement and their Social Security. They worry about, are they going to have enough? And I would tell them the same thing. God provides. Don't give up. Some people might consider the woman in this parable to be a nagger, but I don't think she was. I think she was just wanting justice. She was not like this certain woman named Matilda, who on her epitaph said, "Matilda Graham has gone to rest. She now reclines on Abraham's breast. Peace at last for Matilda Graham, but not for Father Abraham." She had a lot of tenacity. She had a lot of spirit. She was going to get justice one way or another, and she did. In 1997, a lot of you probably remember seeing this in the news, Grand Forks, North Dakota was flooded, demolished, because they had had such a severe winter before that, and when all that snow melted, it overflowed the Red River and decimated the city. But the Grand Forks Herald, the newspaper in that town, was not about to give up. They stayed in their office where the printing press was. They stayed there until the water overtook it, and eventually the water caused an electrical fire and they had to abandon the building. But they were still not going to give up. They went a little bit outside the city, found another building, set up shop, and continued to publish the paper because they knew how important it was to these people of Grand Forks, because they would check the paper to see what this current situation was or check on their families. They knew it was important. And after they moved, the first newspaper that they put out, the headline on the front page said, "Come hell and high water." They were not going to give up. They got the high water, and Grand Forks probably was experiencing a little bit of hell. The point is, they didn't give up because they knew how important it was to the community. Winston Churchill was another one who was always preaching, never give up. He told a boys' academy one time, "Never give up, never give up, never give up." It was important. You can't just lie down and take things the way they are. You have to be willing to pursue things. You have to be persistent in prayer. You have to know that God is going to answer. And I know sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray and we think, oh, he's not ever going to answer. But he does. He always answers. I guarantee you, he always answers. It may not be what you asked for. Maybe something a little different, because he knows better. Or it may be a situation where he says, be patient. We're going to take care of that, but not right now. Or he might whisper in your ear, "Hun, you really don't need that." But he always answers. And even though it may take some time for something to happen, it's been said that he answers immediately, but sometimes it takes a little time for him to put things in place to make it happen. Yes, he could just speak it and it would happen, but he is not going to defy the laws of physics and science and all those things in the world, society and social principles. He is going to make things happen within our society, the way things are. So sometimes he has to work things around, get the right people in the right place to make something happen. But he always answers. But we also have to be cautioned about how we pray. We can't just pray empty words. We can't just pray and pray and pray. He does tell us to pray without ceasing, but he's talking about prayer that makes sense. He's talking about talking to him like you would talk to your best friend or your spouse, who I hope is your best friend. He's talking about communicating with him like you would anybody else. Not big platitudes or not chanting things over and over again, but talking to him. That's what prayer is about. And if you don't know what to say, just be silent for a minute. The Bible tells us that when you don't know what to pray, the Spirit intervenes in strange groanings and moanings, something that God understands, well, we might not. They intervene on our behalf. They tell God what we are feeling and can't express. Just have to be silent, because sometimes we don't know what to say. In fact, there's a little boy who was praying before he went to bed. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And he stopped for a minute. And his mom's standing in the doorway. She goes, if. He still didn't quite get it. All of a sudden, though, he says, if he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. He'd forgotten the last part of that prayer. But that's okay. I'm sure God understood what he was saying. But then there's those, and we've all experienced it, that will pray a prayer that takes forever. And that just aggravates me, because they're saying empty words. They've lost whoever they're praying with after about the first 20 or 30 seconds. That's why my prayers are short and to the point, because I want you to hear those prayers, and I want God to hear those prayers. Dwight Moody tells a story about a revival that he was at, and they had asked this gentleman to say a prayer, and he started praying and praying and praying till finally Dwight Moody stood up, interrupted the man, and told the congregation, let's sing another hymn while he decides when he's going to end his prayer. But the neat thing about that particular evening was there was a young medical student that had kind of wandered in off the street just out of curiosity. But as this man was praying and praying and praying, and it got more and more boring, this student tried to sneak out. But as he was trying to sneak out was when Dwight Moody stood up, interrupted him, and made his comment about, let's sing another hymn. That kind of sparked the student's interest, so he sat back down. And in the course of the evening, he actually gave his heart to Christ. He also became very close to Dwight Moody. His name was William Grenfell, and he became a medical missionary to Labrador, one of Moody's most famous converts. Martin Luther used to make the statement that the fewer words, the better the prayer. No meaningless platitudes, no high-sounding phrases, no lengthy dissertations, but do keep praying. Even if the heavens are silent, or you think they're silent, keep praying. God's listening. He hears us all. He hears our prayers, and he answers our prayers. I guarantee it, even though sometimes we wonder. But I do know that prayer makes a difference. All of us in here have probably seen situations where prayer has made a huge difference, especially when it comes to somebody's health. I've seen people in hospitals that doctors have pretty much wrote off recover because the congregation was praying for them or their family was praying for them. There are some doctors in Bowling Green that will actually come in to the, where they get you ready for surgery and pray with you before they go into surgery if you want them to. Prayer is important, and doctors will tell you that that is very important because how your attitude is and how you feel, how you have this hope within you because you know God's listening, makes a difference. Prayer makes a difference. And when we pray and we keep fighting and we don't give up, we often win. That's what happens in these hospitals with these patients that have been written off. And some of the wealthiest people in the world, if you really knew about them, will find out that they probably filed for bankruptcy several times before they were successful. But in those situations where they filed for bankruptcy, they learned from that, and that's how they became successful. They didn't give up. They stayed after it. They fought the fight. There's a young man named Michael Blake who suffered through poverty. He wanted to be a playwright, and he wrote a lot of screenplays. But being in the situation he was living with friends on concrete floors, not successful. In the course of his trying to be successful, he was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease. And while it's currently in remission, that was another devastating thing in his life. It just so happens, though, that he wrote a book that actually only sold 30,000 copies. But Kevin Costner happened to see that book and contacted him about the movie Dances with Wolves. And after that, he sold 2 million copies of that book. He didn't give up. And he actually won an Oscar for converting that into a screenplay. He didn't give up. He left home at 17, was rejected for 25 years, wrote more than 20 different screenplays, but he never gave up. And when you never give up, you often win. He now goes around to schools and talks to poor and underprivileged children, homeless children, and explains to them that you have to keep trying. Go after that dream. Don't give up. Stay strong. And sometimes people who refuse to give up, wonderful things happen to their souls. We fight that good fight, and we trust and we hope and we feel God within us. It affects our souls. There's a man named W. Mitchell. Don't know what his first name is. He goes by W. Mitchell. He was a young student, San Francisco State College. He got involved in the campaign of Robert Kennedy. This is back in the 60s. So he was a very busy, very ambitious young man. Well, one morning while he was riding his motorcycle to school, he was struck by a laundry truck. His motorcycle exploded, which caused him to be paralyzed and had severe burns over most of his body. Became rather disfigured. This young, handsome, idealistic young man was now paralyzed and had disfigurement all over his body. But he didn't give up. And shortly after that, bless his heart, he was also in a plane crash. This poor guy had every reason to just give up, but he didn't give up. One day he happened to be in a park. Some children were playing, and they saw him, noticed his disfigurement, and started calling him a monster. Well, rather than leave, which a lot of people would do, He went up to these children and he started explaining to them what happened to him and why he looked the way he did. And just because those things happen doesn't mean you give up. You can continue to follow your dream. After that, he became a professional motivational speaker, helped thousands of people that thought they were not going to make it, made them not give up. He used to make the statement that the same sun hardens clay and melts butter, both ends of the spectrum. It's how we live our life and how we have our attitude and the hope that we feel so we don't give up. Sometimes people that never give up, they hang in there, they find God. They find that thing which God wants them to do. They don't give up because God hears our prayers. And I know there are times when people in our secular society, the agnostics, the atheists, they look at us and they're like, well, you've been praying all this time. No, I didn't see anything happen. And they try to get the best of us. But that's what faith is about. And that's what that last line and what I read this morning is all about. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? We have to be persistent in prayer, but we also have to have faith because things don't always happen when we want them to happen. God has a different timetable than we do. God's ways are not our ways. His ways are best for us, even though we may not see it at the time. And we come to church on Sunday mornings, and we sing together and we pray together, and I hope we feel God's presence with us that lifts us up and helps us to never give up. It helps us to move forward. But it also means we've got to have the faith to believe that God answers prayers. And he may answer that prayer immediately and you'll see it. Well, he may answer that prayer immediately, and it takes a little time for him to get things in a place to help you. But he always answers. And I encourage you to continue to pray about your needs or the needs of a close person. Keep praying. But also, while you're praying, if there are things that you can do while you're waiting for God's answer that might move things in a certain direction, by all means, do those things. It's like an old Indian proverb that says, call on God, but row away from the rocks. If you're at the end of your rope and it's about to break, and you don't see angels there to catch you before you fall on the rocks, trust, because God can send those angels that fast to catch you. Don't give up. Hang on. Hold on to the end of that rope. Use this widow as an example. She didn't give up, and she got justice. And if we continue to pray persistently, not with empty platitudes, but pray like you're talking to a friend persistently, God hears. And if you ask him for the same thing over and over again, that's okay. Because that shows him how badly you need it. Shows him your attitude and your trust in him. He always answers. He always answers in our best interest in the time he knows is exactly right. He's never early, never late, always right on time. Continue to pray. No matter what it is, pray always. And it's, you don't have to kneel down at an altar to pray. You don't have to kneel down at your bed to pray. You can pray while you're doing other things by talking to God in your head. That's just as much prayer as getting down on your knees. You can talk to God. And if you listen, you might even hear him answer. But it's about persistence. It's about not giving up. It's about trust, hope, and faith. That's what Jesus is telling us about in that parable of the widow and the judge. Amen.